Beautiful. What a gift. What a gift of our Lord here with us. Thank you, Father, for exposing our Lord solemnly here with us. There's just no words, right, to express the gift that Jesus stayed in the Eucharist with us, for us. And as we start a retreat, let's start with this prayer that you all have. That it's, right, this one, the handout that you have, retreat prayer. Mm-hmm. Retreat prayer, get heaven crowded. And we'll all say that all together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you as daughters, sisters, and servants, gathered in your name, longing to be set ablaze with your love. Thank you for calling each of us to this retreat, for carving out this sacred time and space where we can be still and listen. Thank you for the gift of community, of sisterhood rooted in Christ, and for the bold mission you've placed on our hearts to get heaven crowded. Lord, stir within us a holy fire, a fire that cannot be hidden, a love that overflows, a mercy that welcomes the lost, a faith that moves mountains, reminds us that heaven rejoices over every soul that returns to you. May our lives be a living invitation to those who are far from you. Give us courage to speak truth, to love radically, and to lead with joy. Make us bold like Mary at the Annunciation, faithful like Mary at the cross, and full of hope like Mary at the tomb. Fill this retreat with your Spirit, Lord. Heal what is broken, strengthen what is weak, rekindle what has grown cold. And when we leave this mountain, let us go down shining, radiant with purpose, carrying the gospel in our hearts and our lips. Use us, Lord, draw the weary, the wandering, the wounded home. Use us to crowd the gates of heaven with souls you love. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you again for each of you for being here in this time of prayer that you give to the Lord. But more than anything, he gives to us. He gives to us. And that's why we were opening not only our diaphragms, but our hearts to receive all the graces he already started giving us with the beginning of this day. So just for you to kind of have the schedule of today, as we have Father there on the back, he's going to be hearing confessions throughout the morning. We'll have this meditation with our Blessed Lord here exposed. I'm going to give some reflection and then leave time for silent prayer as you answer some questions too, and other questions that our Lord has for you that I didn't write. And then after that, we'll have benediction. And Father will celebrate Mass here for us. After Mass, then we'll have the talk. If it's okay with the organizers here, when we're having the talk, you can obviously have coffee and tea. And so I'll give the talk. We'll have some reflection after the talk too. And then we'll have the brunch lunch, okay? So that's how we have our morning. And Father will be hearing confessions. So if you wanted confession now, you could tell Father and it will be in the chapel. If you want it later, then Father, like after Mass, Father as well will be here. So just so you know, okay? All right, so we'll start with our meditation of Song of Songs. We're gonna use that handout now. So you're probably familiar with this Song of Songs book. in the Bible that is so short, right? But it's so deep. Before we talk about this, let me just kind of go back to the Let Heaven Crowd It. I was going to start with that meditation, but I have something to show you that I want to project. And of course, I'm not going to do that with the Blessed Sacrament exposed. So I'm going to do that in the second one. But I just want to mention something that happened with the Reinum Christi ladies in D.C. And the ladies that are not Reinum Christi, right? I'm consecrated 32 years ago, given my life to Jesus. And in the movement Reinum Christi, in the Reinum Christi movement, some of you here are already part of this Reinum Christi movement. Some of you have heard of it. And you're here, and that's the whole part of, like, you know, that's what we do. It's, we do these retreats open, and then other people, you know, it's the different boats that Jesus gives us, right, to get to heaven, boats that help us because it gives us tools. And as the Reinum Christi movement, we have the Focolare movement, and we have the Jesuits, and we have Opus Dei, and we have so many others, right? Because Jesus wants to give us that, because as we travel through the world, we can just see it like as a forest, right? And so sometimes in the forest, there might be some very dangerous places where we need tools. And that's what he's trying to give us, right? So it just happened to be that for me, that some ladies were asking me yesterday, actually, like, and what? Because I was in New York in an encounter with Christ with these New York ladies. And some of them were not Reinum Christi. And they're like, so what did you feel? And I'm like, because I got associated in Reinum Christi when I was 18 years old, right? So I started very young. I was already dating a guy, etc. And I was exposed to Opus Dei. I went to some Opus Dei activities, but the click happened when I met Reinum Christi. And that's how Jesus does it. It's just like, boom, you know, there's just something you know. It's like when people ask you, how did you know you had a call from Jesus to be consecrated to him? And he's like, okay, that definitely takes a bit more discernment, because it's like when you actually chose your spouse, right, your husband. So that took a lot of discernment. I was going to marry this boyfriend. So I'm not going to talk about the whole thing. That's not part of the talk. No. But just to kind of, no, I'm not going to deviate. Jesus, thank you for reminding me that. But it's just to say that, I don't know why that came. But anyway, all of that to say that in my process, actually, because I was this Reinum Christi girl, and then Jesus continues to, like, that would he continue to pursue me to follow then this consecrated life, right? Okay, so with that said, let's get back to with these ladies. In D.C., they were saying, like, they had this theme for their, so when Victoria said about this Let Heaven Crowd It, I loved it, because I'm like, yes, these D.C. ladies were talking about getting their buses full. Like, as we know, we're going to heaven, we can imagine ourselves going not just in a little car of four people, but in a bus where we're getting all of these people in my bus to get heaven crowded. I usually say, like, empty purgatory. Let's empty purgatory with, obviously, Jesus's redemption graces. It's not us, it's him, but he wants our prayer, right? So it's the same. We empty purgatory, we get heaven crowded. So as we get heaven crowded, right, we're just being those apostles that are talking about Jesus in our day, that are bringing that joy by, sometimes you don't even have to say his name. It's just by being who you are, right? So, and I was remembering, realize how God works in us, but he's doing that. See, he's doing that continually. And we just have to live the present moment fully. The other day, like, there's sometimes maybe that we wake up and we have these eternal truths, more like we're more aware of it because we just heard of a death or we just heard of someone, you know, and so we're more aware of it. But other times, right, we just kind of go through life. But this time I was in a meeting with other consecrated. We were having this, yeah, and I was in another state, not in Washington, and I had to actually get ready to go to the spiritual getaway that I was having with a group of ladies. So I was going to miss the last day. And the day before, I wanted to catch up with one of my other fellow consecrated. So I'm like, Sarah, let's catch up. We have free time in the afternoon. Let's do that. She's like, perfect, yes. So after the meetings, we're going to have a catch up. And then, whatever, I'm seeing my territorial director, my provincial, if you will, the territorial director. I was struggling with something, and then I see my territorial director, and she goes like, do you want to talk now? And I'm like, oh, sure. Like, I just want to take the opportunity that you're here, because I don't have her all the time, right? So then I'm like, yes, let's talk. And then I'm like, but that was exactly the time I was going to catch up with Sarah. So I'm like, Sarah, it's the free time and I need to talk to, like, and she goes like, don't you worry, Luli, we can catch up tomorrow. Because there was another day for the meetings, but I was going to miss that. So I'm like, no, Sarah, I don't have tomorrow. And when I said that, I was like, it was like Jesus wanted me to, like, because I was just like, I don't have tomorrow. And in that moment, I feel just telling me, very well, you don't even know if you have tomorrow. So what I was struggling with, then I looked at my territorial director and I was like, let's talk. But you know what? It put everything into perspective with just eternity. Like, I don't even know if I have tomorrow. How do I want to deal with this particular struggle that I'm going through? The whole perspective, right? Just put it into another way. So how do I want to live my life? See? So just about the whole point of getting heaven crowded, right? So, okay. So with that said, let's go back into our Song of Songs. So the Song of Songs, this small book in the Bible that every word has so much meaning. I don't know, you know probably that King Solomon wrote it, right? And King Solomon was the one that asked God, when God was telling him, right, like, what do you want? What do you ask? And instead of asking power for, you know, or whatever he reaches, he says, I ask for wisdom. Give me wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And look at this book that he wrote of the Song of Songs. The more I dive into it, the more I discover more riches that this book has. I did my 8-day retreat, Ignatian retreat, on the Song of Songs. So I wanted to share with you some of these words that in Hebrew have such a deep meaning that when you realize that, it just brings so much into our prayer. So that's what we're going to do. And as we do that, try to imagine, like, I don't know if you, like, when I think of these, I feel Jesus right now as he's gazing at you with the greatest adventure in life is what? The greatest adventure. I love how they call this, like, the Catholic Bible, the Ignatius Bible, they call it the great adventure or something like that. Well, right. The greatest adventure is your relationship with the Lord. And how are we walking with that through our days? It's the relationship we have. And sometimes we might feel that the great union of, like, you know, the hearts, or like when St. Catherine of Siena exchanged hearts with the Lord, or like he gave her the ring of the spouse, of being, that's for like the saints. That's not for me. Like, you know, we look at those paintings and it's like, okay, yeah, Catherine of Siena. Right? Or Teresa of Avila that had like these revelations, like even washing the pots and pans. And toom, she stayed like in ecstasies watching the pots and pans and our Lord was appearing. Isn't that amazing? Like her nuns were like, what's going on with her? She's just in ecstasies, girls. Well, it's not only for St. Teresa of Avila or for St. Catherine of Siena. It's for each of us. But it depends how much we open our hearts. And how much we let him, but he wants that. Can you imagine? He's dying for that union with each of us. That's our Lord. So we have to dream of that type of union. That he gives us those type of gifts. He doesn't have to give us those type of gifts of, like, you know, appearing in that way. But he does give us types of gifts of us, a union that you would only know, right? In our own prayer, in the way he reveals to us. I have a part in my journal that I call it little apparitions. So he hasn't appeared to me like he's appeared to all these saints. Of course not. But I call them little apparitions because he has appeared to me and to all of you in very special ways that, for me, they're like little apparitions. It's not all the time that it's like that, okay? There are special moments where it's like, wow, something's happened where you just felt Jesus totally, like, with what you were thinking, with what happened, with, like, he just, like, came and, whew, like, embraced you in a way that it's a little apparition, right? And so those are the ones that you need to register in your journal. Those are type of things that, in our and Jesus wants us to remember that. Wants us to remember those graces and go through that. So the great adventure. So go into this meditation with that and begging Jesus, like, I want this, knowing that he wants it even more than you, right? So just as you imagine his gaze right now, as you hear his gaze, and which I love, even this little boy, what's his name of this little boy?
Emilio.
Emilio, it's great to have you here. Because I'm sure Jesus is like, bring the children to me. That's what he's saying. So it's great to have you here, Emilio. Hello. Jesus is saying hello to you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So imagine Jesus's gaze, because he's here. He's here. And just imagine his gaze as you usually imagine him, right? Each of us have the face of Jesus that, you know, we one day will see, and we can't wait. Not that it's going to come anytime soon, that he only knows, but that we can see him now as he appeals to our faith, because we only see the bread, but there's no bread. It's Jesus, body and soul. And as you gaze on him, just tell him, I love you, Lord. I love you. Just repeat that a few times in your heart. I love you, I love you, I love you. And let and hear that from him to you. Hear him saying that to you. So dive into this intimacy with him. And then in this first quote of the Song of Songs, there's this, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That's the way it begins, right? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Draw me after you. Let us make haste. Let us make haste. Nashak, you put there, you see there in your handout, keys. In Hebrew, it's written nashak. You see that there. What does nashak in Hebrew means? Equip for battle. Isn't that amazing? Equipping for battle. So when we receive our Lord in the Eucharist and he comes to us, it's the most intimate kiss we can get from him. He comes into us, right? Of course, the union between husband and wife, it's impressive, right? There's that, the union of the Eucharist, when we receive him and even right here before him, that kiss that our Lord gives us is that that equipping us for the battle of the day. Do I begin my day like that? Can we just even imagine ourselves, how do we begin our day? Could that be something that you start anew? Of just kissing your cross or your rosary right by your bed. And that's feeling the kiss of Jesus, the real Jesus, that is equipping you for the battle of the day. How would your day be if you would begin like that? If we could begin like that every day. All these thoughts come to us of the things we need to do and the worries we have and the anxieties and the pains we're going through. From so many different things. We all have had losses. We all have had deep, deep situations that are super hard that only the Lord understands. Well, there our Lord is kissing you with his love and mercy, equipping you for the battle of the day. And that draw me after you, let us make haste. That's our Lord. Let us make haste in the sense that he just wants that union with you. He's seeking for that union with you. Then the second part, the Song of Songs. If you do not know, O most beautiful among women, O most beautiful among women. Beautiful in Hebrew is yapa, YAPAH. Which means unique and special. Unique and special. So it's like beyond beautiful. See? And so when he's saying to us, if almost beautiful among women, like to each of us, that's the amazing thing. Jesus is like living in this world. And that's what I also pray, that today in this retreat, I'm going to put some music here so that hopefully that doesn't, just some background music here. It's that it can go deep, that it's for you that he's here in the Eucharist. Just for you. Is that sinking? Like, do I believe that? These are questions you can answer now in our prayer time that I'm going to leave for you pretty soon. Do I believe that I'm his unique, special one? I'm going to go through the next one so that you can have time of prayer before we have benediction. The third one, Song of Songs 1:11. We will make for you ornaments of gold studded with silver. Just look at that line. We will make for you. Who's we? Who's we? Isn't that impressive that this is the Old Testament? And already our Lord is revealing himself as the Holy Trinity. We, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it actually goes perfect with, we will make for you ornaments of gold. What it means with the gold is the graces and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are the ornaments of gold that the bride in the Song of Songs, which is each one of us, our Lord has adorned us with our faith. Am I aware of the Holy Spirit? We will go deeper in our second talk about that too. But am I aware of the Holy Spirit, of his gifts that I have? I just have to help make them grow. But through baptism, I have the gift of fortitude, of counsel, of knowledge, of wisdom. Do I invoke the Holy Spirit in my day? I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And then look at that silver. Silver means the price that he paid for each one of us. It's the silver coins. So for us not to forget that that's the redemption that he paid for us. So he's adorned us. When you have your cross or your scapular with you, it's a reminder. He paid this price for me. I can't forget that as I walk through my day. He's got me. He's got you, and he's got your little ones. Maybe not so little anymore, your children, but he's got you and he's got them. Song of Songs 2:15 catches the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. For our vineyards are in blossom. Catches the foxes, the little foxes. In this book that I was reading that helped me with the translation of the Song of Songs, what it's trying to, because of course the languages, we lose so many things with the translation of languages, right? We know that. Even from the Spanish to the English, I'm from Mexico. So from the Spanish, and Victoria would know too, like, oh, there's some words you just cannot say it. Like, ni modo. How do you translate ni modo? I mean, you just can't. Right? Or there, and that's like just a silly word, to tell you the truth. It's not even like a, you know, but just trying to look for a so this is what, that's why this priest gave me this little book that helped me with my retreat to go deeper into these translations. And so when Solomon wrote it right after, but it's not in our translation, like after it says for our vineyards are in blossom, then it says, let's do it together. Let us do it together. That just, I stayed in prayer with that for a while, because I'm like, I'm not going to be, because those sly little foxes that try to ruin our vineyards, that's a question for all of us to answer in our prayer. What are those sly little foxes that come to rob your peace, that come to rob your belief in the love of the Lord for you? in that you have His grace, in that you are beautiful in His eyes, and that He's got you. Sometimes they're so sneaky and so little, but ooh, powerful, right? That the Lord is more powerful. We just have to catch them and send them away. But we're not alone. It says, let's do it together. Let us do it together. That's our Lord with us. So just stay, and then you'll have time to ask, what are those little foxes? And the last one, Song of Songs 7:8. Come, my beloved, arise. Let us go into the fields. His left hand is under my head, and His right hand embraces me. Set me as a seal upon your heart. Come, my beloved, arise. Beloved, in Hebrew, it's called a yad yad. You see it there, yad yad, which means hand in hand. Isn't that just another way to begin our day? To let Him kiss us with the kisses of His mouth that equips us, and hand in hand with our beloved. To walk like that through life, knowing that we're hand in hand with Him. He is the spouse of your hearts. I was telling the ladies the other day, you all have a husband, but He is the spouse of your hearts, the Lord. That's why He's on the cross. When you study theology of the body, right? We learn all of that. He wedded each of us, right? The difference between me and the, you know, like my vocation to be consecrated to the Lord, because many of you, ooh, that I know, are like, we cannot measure that, right? Only our Lord. But Jesus, have mercy on us that we may all crowd heaven and bring many. But you can be ways advanced, right? In your path of spiritual life, in sanctity, right? That's why I say, like, don't think only the nuns, the consecrated, the priests. But Jesus, like, I see my sisters, for example. I have four sisters, and they really, I look at them and I'm like, wow, Lord, wow, they really are so ahead of me. They are. And Jesus, He's like, yeah, that could be. You just follow me. Yeah, that could be. I'm not saying no. But He's like, I wanted you to arrive to me, little one, only through Him. He didn't want my boyfriend, because what happens with your husband, you help each other to get there. And He wants you to get to Him through your husband and with your husband, and then Him with you, with His wife, and through your wife. With me, He didn't want that Juan Jose. That's His name. He didn't want that Juan Jose. He's like, just me. Okay, Lord, it was hard at that moment. But now I'm like, oh no, Jesus, you, yeah. And each of our vocations are beautiful. The point is to leave them to the max. I said that just for you to realize, but He's not only my spouse. No, He is your spouse. Jesus is your spouse. He's bought you at a great price. Remember the silver. He is your spouse. So many of the things that your husband cannot fulfill you, well, go figure. Of course He cannot. He's not God. But Jesus does. Jesus does. He's the one that feels. So when your heart is yearning and sometimes you're expecting it from the husband, I know, then you know who to go to. You know who to go to, right? So, yad yad. And then scowl, look at those words, like, you know, in Hebrew, it's that, like, I'm sorry I didn't bring that image. Lolita forgot. But there's this image of the bride and the bridegroom, right? Like Jesus with the bride. And so Jesus is like holding the bride with His left hand under her head and His right hand embracing the bride. And look at this meaning of what that image means. The left hand means graces that can sometimes be in the dark. Like, in a sense, just all these graces from the Lord, from the past, that are holding you. But sometimes we don't even notice them. That's why they can be sometimes in the dark. But they're there holding us. They're holding us. That's why we're here alive and with Him. And then the right hand, it means length of days. So the graces for length of days, all through our life, He's holding us. And we finish with this word quim, which is the word arise. This is one of my favorites besides the keys. And then, well, I put you all my favorites here. But quim means arise, my beloved, which kind of means like, okay, arise, like when you're waking up as well and just like, okay, here we go. Arise, my beloved, and let us go. His arise in Hebrew means he's taking you on your in his shoulders. Isn't that amazing? We're not just, you know, arising kind of like alone again. It's like we're beginning the day hand in hand, equipped, on his shoulders. What a different way of just walking through life. This is our Jesus. This is our Jesus. So with those thoughts, these reflections, you have some of the questions on the back of your prayer handout. You don't have to answer them all. You don't have to answer them all now. We'll have more time of prayer after the talk. But you could use them all now. You could use the ones that Jesus has put in your heart right now. So we'll have a few minutes of silent prayer and then have benediction.